So, we've been going through the last 4 weeks, we've been going through the our core values. And one of the things that kept coming up during that was the fact that we needed to let everybody know about Jesus. Most of the core values were actually a part of it, at least, was why we're doing it, was that we needed to follow these core values so that people would be drawn to Jesus. Well, sometimes we have to stand up. And so that's this sermon. It's called Stand Up for Jesus. And our scripture is John 19, 38 to 42. Not very long, but it's very important. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might remove Jesus' body. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took his body away. Nicodemus, who had previously come to him at night, also came, bringing a mixture of about 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes. Then they took Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen cloths with aromatic spices, according to the burial custom of the Jews. There was a garden in the place where he was crucified. A new tomb was in the garden. No one had yet been placed in it. They placed Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation, and since the tomb was nearby. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your scriptures. Help us to understand their meaning and help me as I try to explain them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jesus was executed as a criminal. They had to make this up. They had to work very hard to actually make the case. They had him executed on a Roman cross, which technically counted as being hung on a tree. And way back in Genesis, it says anybody who's hung on a tree is cursed. Now, Joseph, as we said earlier, really took a risk here because he could be removed from many of his posts. He was probably a Pharisee. He was very high up in Jewish circles. He was well known in his synagogue, and all of this could be taken away from him. Never had he made his following of Jesus public, but he was following him. He was listening to him. He was learning from him. Nicodemus was the same thing. Now, once again, we have said many times about this series called The Chosen. One of the most interesting parts is right in the middle of the first season, where they have Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. Mm-hmm. And their portrayal of the discussion between Nicodemus and Jesus is so interesting to hear, because it just gets to the heart of what I've always thought it was like. Now, Jesus needed to have a proper burial. Even criminals got proper burial. The Romans just left dead criminals to rot and be eaten by animals. They usually threw them in like this one pit that was right next to where they did the executions. The Jews were appalled by this, but they would consent to it for really, really bad guys. Joseph and Nicodemus wanted this to be done right. They said, no, this guy's better than that. He needs a proper Jewish burial. And this exposed them. People discovered that they were followers of Jesus. This was a big risk for both of them. Like I say, Nicodemus probably was high enough up in the circles that he could fend it off. Joseph, who was like on the edge of it all, might have been in really bad trouble. But later on, things turned around, and being a Christian wasn't as bad as they thought it was. Then came the Sabbath. Now, this was not Saturday that was the Sabbath. This was in Jewish tradition. Days begin and end at sundown. So they had to be done with this and back home before the sun went down. Because when the sun goes down, you have to be in your house, particularly on a Sabbath. Passover was a Sabbath. And we know that Passover and Saturday cannot come together. So it can't, Passover cannot be on Friday and it cannot be on Sunday, because that's two Sabbaths in a row. You're not allowed to do that. If, in fact, it would fall on a Friday, they back it up to Thursday. If it comes on a Sunday, they move it up to Monday. So we believe that this was Thursday, that this was probably Wednesday going into Thursday. And when sun went down, it became Thursday. And so we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and any time after sundown, Sunday, Saturday, 3 days later, Jesus, it was the first day of the week, and Jesus could be risen on the first day of the week. Normally, he would have been wrapped in scripts very tightly, but there was no time for that. So what they did, we know historically now, is they just laid a long shroud, put him in it, wrapped up his head, and folded it over and put him in the grave. So he's in this new tomb in a private garden, and get it done quick because they need to get home. So we say buried. This is what they would do. Now, it's interesting that Jewish burial, if they couldn't cremate you, they would put you into a tomb and they would allow you to rot. And then, when it was all done and we're nothing but bones, they would go in and get the bones and they would put it in what was called an ossuary. It's interesting to see that when you read about when Saul died back in Samuel, the book of Samuel, that they cremated his body, not his head, because the Philistines took it. They cremated his body and took his bones, put it in an ossuary, and took it to his hometown. Very interesting. This is not symbolic. This was a real burial. They had put him in there. The ladies come on Sunday morning expecting to have to put these herbs and spices on him, which, as we read here, Joseph and Nicodemus had already done. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, Joseph was rich, so he could buy all this stuff. Just have it sitting there. And so he did. And they buried him properly. It was the same as those who followed him, those who came with him and were saved. They got buried too. The difference is that he had a very spectacular resurrection. Now, many people have said, how do we know for sure he was actually dead? And I've said many times about this. The Roman soldiers were experts on death. They knew dead when they saw it. They were known for making sure of it. When everything was over, they would always make sure you were dead. If you weren't, they would make you dead. If they weren't sure, they would make sure you were dead. Dead is dead. So, and it says that they spirit him and they all this stuff. He's dead. Don't buy into this crap about, oh, maybe he just swooned. No. He was seriously dead, or those Roman soldiers that crucified him would have been in trouble. He got out by the power of God, or those soldiers that were guarding the tomb would have gotten in trouble. They may have anyway. We don't know. We know that they tried to cover for him. We don't know if it worked. So, Joseph and Nicodemus could be thrown out of the synagogue. They could lose their position and status. They could come, and in fact, they did come to the notice of the Romans. This is a serious thing. They're likely to be in bad trouble. So what does this all mean? Well, we need to be ready to stand up for Jesus. He says, if you give a defense for me on earth, I'll give a defense for you in heaven. I can't wait to see this. This is going to be great. Mm-hmm. Because in my misspent youth, I did all kinds of absolutely absurd stuff. And I know the devil's going to be saying, oh, but Walter did this and that and the other thing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus will walk off and say, go away. Mm-hmm. He's one of mine. And that's all it'll take. We need to defend our doctrine and customs. Now, you see, this is interesting because many of the hyper-religious Jews would not have thought that Nicodemus and Joseph were defending their customs. But they were. They said they figured he was dead. I mean, you know, they hadn't got it yet either, which is not too bad because none of the apostles had got it yet either.
He was dead.
So they said he deserves a proper burial. And so they followed their doctrine and customs. We need to remember, Jesus really died. Mm-hmm. Died. Dead on the ground. Out of here. Now, some of the creeds, which we as Baptists don't believe in having creeds, but some of the creeds say that he died and went to hell to preach to the people who were in hell, who were like on the outer edges because there was nowhere else to go. And he explained to them the truth. And those that accepted, he took with him back up to heaven. Now, I can't make a really good biblical case for that. But it sounds like something Jesus would do. We can trust Jesus to take care of us. If we stand up for him and we think that's it. Now, one of the things that's very important is you have to remember, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit will save us in one of three different ways. One thing he can do is he can save us out of something. Just get us out of it. Another way is to get us through it, which is to say, as we go through it, he gives us the ability to make it through, to take the things that are going on and come out victorious on the other end. And the third way is he can just take us home. Okay? All of a sudden they find us dead on the ground and they say, oh, well, I guess you can't pick on Walter anymore. But we can trust Jesus to take care of us no matter what. Now, it may be that we need to go through some really, really serious trials. But it says that God will never tempt us, will never allow us to be tried beyond our ability to endure. At which point, my former pastor used to always say, I just wish he didn't trust me so much. I've been there too. But at any rate, we can trust Jesus to get us through. He said, I'll give you peace, but not as the world gives you peace. He gives us peace to make it through things. And when we get to the end of it where we can't go any farther and we're just about to fail, he may step in and just get us out of it. Okay? But the way we go through trials may be what draws people to Jesus. And that's what's going on here. These two men stood up for Jesus. And they said, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I know telling you this could get me in a lot of trouble. But I'm sorry. This guy was the guy. And I'm going to stand up for him. And they figured, okay, if we're right and he really is the Son of God, then God will take care of us. We just leave ourselves in his hands. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're safe to be in your hands. Lord, I thank you that Angela's mom, who probably by now is with you, because they were just going to turn everything off. But as Angela said, she was going to have a glorious day because she'd be with you. And we just pray, Lord, that she's having a good time up there, because we know that you were waiting for her to welcome her home. We'd ask you, Lord, to guide us through our trials. Show us what we need to do and how we need to show you to other people. And then give us the ability to get through it. And when the time comes, help us to embrace coming home to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.